Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 8th, 2023. I'm your belated host, Joe McElvain. I apologize to those who have been waiting for me, but those listening to the recording, you didn't have to wait, so that's great. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Red Davis.
All right. On our auto-generated agenda for today,
almost all of the things on the auto-generated agenda, except for 4372, would make more sense within the context of us talking about the need to move from Cirrus CI to GitHub.
Okay, so let's look at 4372 first.
Okay.
Entitled temporary in quotes fix for seg fault caused by exception code bug.
Yep.
This is what we discussed last week during the office hours, I assume.
Yes, but there's a giant but here. Are you ready?
A giant but. All right, I'm ready to see the but.
Remember when we couldn't always get it to consistently happen and we dropped some code in that where it ran it in a loop and it was consistently happening?
Yeah.
The loop wasn't what was causing it to consistently happen. I don't know what was, but I can't get it, for example, to happen with glibc in CI. I suspect what we might be looking at is something along the lines of, remember when we had that one where it turned out that there was an ordering issue for linking where CI and local were different? Do you remember that ages ago? You were the one who found it.
An ordering issue for linking.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but go on.
I think we have something along those lines as an issue. And if you trigger the initial condition, then this change will fix it. However, you are not guaranteed to trigger that initial condition, from what I can see. I can't make this happen in all of the CI environments where if this was what we thought it was, it would happen.
Well, I noticed that your regression code example is different from the one we were using. Like we were using a literal loop and this one's using.
Yep. Didn't need the loop. That's what I'm saying. It's like I was able to remove the loop and it was not a problem.
Okay.
I
don't think it was the loop specifically. I think it was just the aspect of just doing it many times.
Nope. I don't think so. In CI, I can't for glibc x86, no matter what I do, I cannot trigger it, including I upped the value for the number of times that it happened all the way up to the point of where we timed out instead and still couldn't make it happen.
And I'm just not seeing that here because you went through several iterations and I'm only seeing the latest code.
And so I took it and went back to this one, right? Which was the original one at the moment to try it, which is where I stopped.
Okay. By the way, in your changes right now in cirrus.yaml, you have foo colon playing, you know, dash dash version. I think you need to do foo underscore script for cirrus to understand you.
Perhaps, but it doesn't matter because I realized I can actually see the Clang version from elsewhere. But I was like, do I have a different Clang version? Because I'm like, it's running in Ubuntu 22, right? In CI. I'm running in Ubuntu 22. I'm using the same version of Clang. I can duplicate it locally. I cannot make it happen in CI.
CI is running in release mode, right? Just to check, right? Because we only had this problem in release mode, correct? Or no, we only had it in debug mode.
We run the things in debug and release. Okay. And it happens in the muscle environment.
Yeah.
It happens in the x86 muscle CI environment.
What was the link order issue that you're referring to?
Years ago, we had a problem, and it was when we were still using Travis, and you eventually tracked, you were like, why does this happen in CI, this bug, but it, I can't make it happen locally. And you eventually tracked it down by when I showed you how to do the, when I got you, I set you up so that we were running the same thing in an account for Wallaroo, right? Where you could then do the debugging and everything, which Travis didn't have for the free one at the time. And you found that it was related to the ordering that things were being linked. And we changed something, and it happened. This was ages and ages ago.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not remembering any of that. I'm not obviously not saying it didn't happen. I believe you that it did. I'm just not remembering the information and not finding the ticket.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's what's happening here. I'm just saying that we have something where there is some additional factor where things can look to be basically the same, right? But this doesn't always happen, and it's not based on time. I put the exact same thing on the perf tester machine, set it up so that it would run for an incredibly long amount of time with the same stuff, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is yet.
Well, do we want to proceed with the fix even though it's not testable in CI?
I don't think so right now.
Okay.
I want to figure out what the fuck is actually going on. Because I also don't know that this fix will actually fix it. It fixes it in the one case where I can make it happen, right? For me, we don't know if it'll fix it elsewhere. Probably, but I don't know. Maybe. But the same thing could pop up again with some other ordering, perhaps. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'd like to look at it more.
Okay. If you'd find that old ticket, I'm like, when I'm searching for things that seem, I'm trying to find the ticket myself, not finding it out of my memory about the kind of issue that we had.
I haven't the slightest recollection of what it was beyond that, what I said.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well,
I'm not surprised you don't remember it because you spent an unfortunate amount of time on it.
Blocked it out from the trauma. Okay.
That was half a joke, but also not a joke. I mean, it was, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I remember what it was. Yeah. Yeah. So what it was we took one of our Travis CI instances. I started up and I gave you the access to it so that you could test there in it by building all of the stuff up from the beginning like Travis had. Yes, that's how that worked. Anyway.
Okay, I just wish I could find the paper trail.
I do not remember what it was.
Okay. Well, let's continue on to talk about Cirrus CI and things to move and not move.
Yes. So for anybody who's following along at home, if you go to the CI channel in the Pony Zulip, stream, there's been an awful lot of activity there to go over this. The basic gist is that at the end of this month, Cirrus CI as a bootstrapped company is ending unlimited free support, unlimited free usage of their platform. We went over a full month's allotment in less than 4 days of time. So guts to move stuff to GitHub. I don't know. Did you follow along with the thing in the CI channel, Joe and Gordon, and my reasoning for why I don't think we should be on there at all?
I'm looking at the thread entitled "We Have a Large CI Problem Now."
Yes. So and... I'll repeat it here if you haven't. So basically, there is we don't know how much usage there will be for anything that we try to keep there, we have no way to control that usage, such that if we decided that we wanted to pay some money for overages, all it would take is one person, us or somebody else, for example, pushing to the same PR that's open over and over and over and over again, and it would just blow through tons of our money, right? There's no way to prevent that from happening. And so I don't think that we should be doing it. The same thing is we could just simply say, oh, well, we'll let it just stop working. But then at best, what we could do for that is we could do CI against it. But then at some point during the course of a month, all things under that CI would just stop working. And we'd be like, well, okay, we're just going to merge things, you know, without knowing if they work under that one, which also seems ridiculous to me. So to me, it feels like we should just, we just move all of our stuff and say, there's some stuff we just can't support anymore.
Okay. So, regarding it, is there an option where we, like the stuff that we can't move to GitHub Actions, is there a solution in which we like keep the Cirrus CI around for that and just run it before doing a release to see if we broke those platforms like right before the release, rather than doing it on every PR?
So let's talk about FreeBSD. I don't think FreeBSD is worth it because who before release is going to do that and then do the bisecting? I don't want to do that. I don't think it's worth the time. I mean, if we've had a lot of activity, who knows how much that could be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to have to like rummage my way through to find a thing where something got broken. I would apply the same thing to the Mac ARM stuff as well, but I think it's at least slightly different. But you're right. That's a thing we could do. But if we have a lot of activity and something gets broken and like there's like 15, 20 commits, I don't want to invest the time for FreeBSD to be officially supported to do that. I personally would rather take it back to, we're not going to intentionally break this and we'll accept your PRs to make it work after we've unintentionally broken it, but it's, you know, unsupported.
Yeah, I think that's definitely reasonable for FreeBSD, is just to, unofficially support it in terms of, the users can file pull requests if they need to, and we are not testing them.
Gordon, are you okay with that for FreeBSD? Basically, that's the means by which we drop FreeBSD and deal with that problem?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So then that leaves macOS ARM.
So, according to the GitHub public roadmap, it's expected that I don't know how many times this has been moved forward. Actually, I do, because it shows there. So it was originally expected for Q3 and moved to Q4. Sorry. Yeah, it was originally expected back in at the end of 2022. They expected to complete this in Q3, and it has been moved from Q3 to Q4 in February. Do we just drop drop macOS ARM support until this is complete?
I would say that what we do is we drop it the same as we're dropping FreeBSD, but with the idea that that we will bring it back when this is done, which means that we're not going to delete all of the scripts that are used for it, for example, because we're planning on them coming back reasonably soon. And we can hopefully keep ourselves from accidentally breaking it by doing macOS on x64 for PRs, and also doing ARM, and that gets us a gets do ARM stuff, ARM testing on Linux in QEMU, however you say that, and that gets us a lot of coverage.
Yeah. If this GitHub public roadmap did not expect to be completing this in the near future, like it does, then I would probably say we should try to work on doing like a dual build on the X64 so that we could at least build releases, even if we can't run the test for them, we could at least be able to build dual Arch releases. But yeah, I don't think that's worth the effort right now, given that we're expecting within the next few months to get access to GitHub runners for macOS ARM.
So this would then raise the other question, which is, well, now that we're back fully on GitHub and GitHub still has macOS x86, do we want to bring back that as fully supported and do releases for it?
Probably yes.
Red, you muted yourself halfway through what you said.
Sorry, I would love and adore having x86 support back on Mac, since that's one of my primary platforms.
Been an issue
and
for
also
that.
ARM macOS ARM users can run macOS x86 binaries under Rosetta, so we would be keeping them covered at least to some degree by bringing that back.
Yeah, we've had a number of issues, people opening up on GitHub asking for it too, so it'll be nice to
we have not up. We have not we've not had a number of issues.
Oh, okay.
Is the number zero?
We
zero
had,
is a number.
The number is definitely greater than zero because I remember them.
Okay, there's a difference between number and a number. A number means more than one.
Okay.
We have had several people who've said, hey, I think it's really important to support that. And I've said, great, here's what would be needed in order to make that happen. Please, please go about implementing that work, and then the people disappear.
Right.
Such as
Red,
life.
You, on the other hand, went off and actually did something with the NixOS stuff. So that is not referring to you.
Yep.
Okay. So Red, can you open an issue for this on the PonyC repo? Basically give the context of, given that we are moving back to GitHub, right? That you would like to have, and that we're talking about using setting up x86 Mac already for PRs, that you would like to have it fully supported so that we're put support back in for doing builds and everything, which can be installed via PonyUp, et cetera.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. I think we have a resolution to all that then, and we could go to the PRs, which have some context behind them now.
All right. Let's look at 4381, move RISC-V 64 CI jobs from Cirrus CI to GitHub Actions.
Yep.
This is currently failing.
Yeah, that was because it'll unfail, but I realized that I had forgotten to do one thing, so this isn't completely up to date yet. It's the Cirrus stuff needs to run again. All of the things that are failing were Cirrus ones because I pushed over it, and so you get the last thing, which was the cancellation, until the next one finishes. But I need to remove I need to re this isn't quite up to date. It will be up to date when I remove this one bit. I forgot to remove the configuration from there we go. And there are three fewer than there were this morning because Matthias came along and approve them. Okay, so this is now the content for this is up to date. So if you wanted to give it a review and conditionally approve it based on everything passing CI, we could do that. I did bring that up to date.
Yeah, I've approved it now. It's a little bit weird that we're using, but this is not the PR that introduces it. I see we have others, but it's a little bit weird that we're doing jobs that have a matrix, but the matrix only has one entry.
Ah, would you like me to explain why?
Yes, if there's a reason, that's great, interesting.
Okay, so our caching is currently done in part as part of the key is the environment that we built it in, that is the image, right? One of our big issues in Cirrus was that it was easy to accidentally get the cache value out of sync with the with the actual image that was being used. So what we had to do was we had it in so that they were reasonably close together. In we had an environment variable which was set, and we put it close in the configuration to near to where the image was actually being set as well. And when you change the image, you needed to change the environment variable in order to change the caching. Otherwise, you had incorrect caching. We can use a you can use the you cannot get the name in the YAML of the container image that you were using for GitHub Actions unless you're using it as a matrix value where we're filling it in for the container image and as part of the key from the matrix. And that's why I was doing it that way. Because it means we only have to change it in one place. And it's less likely for somebody to screw it up.
This definitely doesn't like block the PR. Like I said, I already proved it, but I think a cool improvement, maybe I'll work on this. So this is not me foisting work onto you, right? But like a cool improvement would be to try to make a shared workflow within GitHub Actions that can be invoked with slightly different parameters, but would just be one workflow that like kind of unifies all of these to have the same sort of set of steps that you configure with a few parameters, and then we just have in different invocations of that shared workflow.
So that if we had many workflows, yes, maybe. If we had a few, which what are you referring to as the workflow? You mean just the building and caching or what?
In this case, it would be the job definition where it checks out, restores the cache, builds the libs, saves the libs cache, configures debug runtime, build debug runtime, cross
So, for
compile
example,
runtime.
this one is different than the others because it's doing cross compilation things, right? So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would like a well-designed shared workflow could probably compensate for that by having parameters that let you turn on the cross-compilation related features.
Keep in mind the number of parameters that would probably have to be had. I'm kind of terrified of having to maintain something like that, and I do most of the maintaining. I prefer things where there's duplication that I have to deal with over trying to figure out an abstraction that has a ton of parameters,
Fair enough.
which is why as these come in for the cross compilation ones, I decided to do them as I'm going to be doing them as at least some of them as individual jobs rather than stuff in the matrix, because the matrix would end up having an incredibly large number of elements in it, which I think would be hard to parse out what was happening. But maybe you can find a way to extract some or something so that's not a concern, and that would be great.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good to, I'm glad I mentioned the idea because I mean, it's good to know that you're not that you prefer the current setup and you're the one who's doing most of the maintenance on this, so that it makes sense to keep it how it is.
Yep. It's but like so like the reason why I haven't gone for a for like say a workflow that could be called out to for say the stuff which is pretty much shared, which is the cache building, right? For all of the stuff for restoring the caches, et cetera, and everything, is that there's those finicky things around like environment variables, et cetera, not being carried over from when you go from one workflow to another, but when you're within a workflow. And I didn't want to introduce potential foot guns for that, but just because I don't really fully understand the ramifications of it. But if you're comfortable with stuff like that, I think there are certainly things that we could do which would not go to the level of concern that I would have with trying to come up with the parameters across all of these, but could still perhaps extract some stuff out without doing foot guns.
Okay. Sounds good. So we now have pull request 4380, which is the same thing for Windows.
Except
This
this one is not at all done. This is the
Okay.
one where I discovered that my former employer that owns Microsoft has less Windows support than Cirrus CI does, in that you cannot use Windows containers on GitHub Actions.
Okay. So we can't use a container image that's primed with everything we need. Okay.
Right. And Gordon and I have been having a conversation about that over in the Zulip in the CI stream. And I have a plan of action for what to try on this. And the Windows ones will actually be, that's the next thing I'm going to pick up is doing the is finishing the Windows one off and getting that moved over.
Okay. Cool. Moving on then, we have 4377 x86 Linux Muscle. Same story. This one's
Yep.
ready to go.
Oh, okay. So there's something I want to point out. So I did mention this in the stream, but I want to make sure because there's a lot of information in the stream. Do you see the change to the Docker file here, Joe?
Yeah, the user ID to 1001.
Yeah. So the user that all of these jobs get run as when you're using containers in GitHub is currently 1001, right? If you want to run your CI jobs as a user other than root, which we do for the Pony C ones, right? Because we have some tests which can't be run as root, otherwise they just simply don't work. Then this is the only approach that you can really take.
Okay.
So it's entirely possible this will break again in the future, but for now, this is a solution.
You mean break again if GitHub Actions decides to start using a different user ID?
Yes, if it's a different user ID than 1001, which is doing all of the stuff like checking code out, et cetera, and everything.
Okay. Yeah. I would have expected it to respect the user directive there in the like the line below that in the Docker file. But yeah, apparently it wasn't. Okay.
But so what's happening is it's mounting, it checks out the source into the actual the host VM, right? And that is checked out by user with the user with ID 1001. It is then mounted into your as a volume into your container, which is going to use it. And if the user that you are, for example, Pony,
Oh, yeah.
has a mismatch in user ID, then you get it. Then you get a permissions error.
I see. Yeah. So it's the external, it's the user on the Docker host side that's mounting in and has files that are owned by that user ID. That makes sense.
Yep.
All right. I am marking as approve. And let's move on now to pull request 4371. Move heap ownership from chunk to page map. This is a reopening of an earlier PR. I think this is still in a do not merge state because we want to try to see if the segmentation fault when assigning timer can be fixed quickly.
Well, at this point, I think that from what I said earlier, I don't think it can be. I need to get through the CI stuff first before I go back to that. So I think it's reasonable to squash and merge this.
Squash and merge right now?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay. And
we just need to make sure that we do the original message, right?
Yep. Which is
in 4368. You gonna do that?
The original message, is prior to this commit, the chunk kept track of heap ownership.
Yep.
Blah blah blah. Two paragraphs. All right. Co-authored by Dippin and Sean.
Oh, I didn't do anything. Take my name off of it. All I did was change the formatting in the release notes.
Sorry, I already merged before you said take your name off of it.
Okay.
I didn't do anything either, if that helps. All I did was mistakenly merge it when you didn't want me to. All right. I've removed the do not merge label as well. 4369 segmentation fault when assigning timer. Do we want to talk about this any further? Or...
I
nothing else for now.
I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff in here when I found friggin' weird stuff. I would appreciate it if people could take the, if people could try and see on different machines, for them, if they can make it happen and drop as much info about the environment, as possible. I want to see if I can figure out if there is anything about the environment for why this, I can't make this happen in the CI environment. So that would be a nice thing that somebody else could do in the meantime.
Okay. Any other, so that takes us through our auto-generated agenda. Any special topics that people want to raise to discuss while we're here together?
Maybe.
Okay, let's hear the maybe.
So, since we're talking about supported platforms, Alpine and Musil are still supported, right?
Uh-huh.
Do we support static linking in that environment, or is it best endeavor?
I don't know what you mean.
Meaning statically linking the pony, the final execution. You write a Pony application, there's a dash static on Pony C, it will produce a static binary.
Yes, okay. That's how we create a single corral, which will work on any Linux.
Okay, so that is definitely...
we create a single Pony up. Is that, okay, we use Alpine as the environment to do that.
Perfect. So that is definitely supported. Thank you.
Yep. Now that does, so yeah, that me, and you know, yeah, you can't mix glibc and Musil together. So yeah, if you want to do static ones, really you should use Alpine. I have tried in the past to get usage of Musil working on a glibc where I actually build on a glibc machine, right, and use Muscle. And you basically, you have to have any library that you need to link in, you need to have the Muscle compatible version, and you need, it's you're doing cross compilation basically.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just awful. Yeah. You can use the Muscle based Docker image that we have even on a glibc one. Potentially in order to do it. Well, actually with caveats, but yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
I have a question about Cirrus CI. Were we also using it? Never mind. I remember the answer. Sorry.
Oh, what was the question though?
I was asking whether we're also using it for pre-compiling the Docker images.
What do you mean pre-compiling the Docker images?
The CI Docker files, building and pushing those.
No, those all get done locally right now. Like,
yeah,
by whoever.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, we could move those, but really then, in order to do that, we'd want to set up, I mean, well, we could do it on GitHub where we have them so that you could manually trigger which one you want to have done, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what ends up happening anyway is that, you know, you need to test it and make sure it's all working and everything first with the building on like a local environment, mm-hmm. right? So at the moment, we don't get anything out of it. If we were to start building multi-arch Docker images, right? I think we would, but for like, we get something out of it, but we're not doing multi-arch like Docker images for our CI stuff. So I don't think we really get anything out of it right now.
Okay.
But for the end user ones, yes, those are all done in, those are actually done in GitHub and have been for forever.
Okay.
In the Cloudsmith synchronized YAML file. So Cloudsmith package synchronized YAML. So what we do for each of those when we build them is anytime after a release, either nightly or full release, when the package is synchronized to Cloudsmith, it sends an event for every package that's synchronized to the repo and to the PonyC repo using the GitHub API, and we process that event such that if it's like, say, for that, you know, it was like it came from the nightly's repository, and the name of the particular thing that was uploaded was PonyC x86-64 unknown Linux Ubuntu 22.04.tar.gz. We know that is the one that we use to build the glibc/gnu Docker image, and that will trigger the job, which actually builds that image. And what that image does is uses Pony up to install the particular version in question.
Okay. All right, that was my item. Anyone else have other items to discuss here in the last 5 minutes? All right. Well, thanks everyone for attending, and for those listening along to the recording later, we'll see you next week. Bye.
All right.